All right, what is up, everyone, and welcome back to the Bro Ceremony. Good to have you here. I'm your host, Luke Mars, and this is, in fact, a Bachelorette podcast. Now, I, like many boyfriends around the world, had no interest in ever watching The Bachelorette, but my girlfriend made me watch it one time, and now all I do is have all these useless opinions about all these gorgeous people. So with that out of the way, we are about to dive into episode 7 of the Claire/Tayshia season. Before we get too far into it, just a couple standard announcements here, if you don't mind. Be sure to follow us, and by us I mean me. It's just me, one bro. And I wouldn't really technically describe myself as a bro, but I do like puns. So, you know, that's kind of where we are with that. No, but be sure to follow us on The Bro Ceremony on Instagram, at The Bro Ceremony on Instagram. Whatever you're listening to, Spotify, iTunes, we just got approved for iHeartMedia. I'm stoked about that for whatever reason. They're way more strict to get into than all the other outlets. But wherever you're listening to, be sure to follow the podcast. Helps me out a lot. You'll get notifications when the new episodes come out. New episodes come out typically Wednesday morning, if The Bachelorette aired. So just whenever The Bachelorette airs, they'll be out the next morning. Typically that's Tuesdays, but they shift it sometimes. So yeah, with that out of the way, let's dive into this episode, episode 7. A lot of stuff going on here. We had two group dates. We had one one-on-one. And arguably the worst thing ever to happen in Bachelorette history took place, and that is Kenny got sent home, and I couldn't be more fucking pissed about all of it. I mean, we'll get into it in depth later, but just know that I'm coming from a place of extreme anger and heatedness that Kenny went home, and for multiple reasons. I'm gonna have a hard time just, like, holding back as I give you this whole episode, because I'm just gonna be thinking about how Kenny went home tonight, and it's just gonna, like, fuel my rage, and we'll see how this goes. I had such, like, high hopes. There was, like, a few moments with Kenny in the episode I thought were great, and it was just all just stripped away from me, and I couldn't believe my eyes and my ears what was happening in front of me. And it's like the last, the rose there, whatever, we'll get to it. So we pick up from last episode. Noah just got the rose because he jumped in the ring on a date he wasn't initially invited to. Initially, he was not invited, but then he was, and the guy should have no reason to get mad at him for that. But anyways, we pick up with him just getting the rose, and all the dudes are kind of still pissed about it. It actually shows Noah and Chasen kind of broing out. They were kind of the two villains of the... You can call Chasen a villain. I don't know what that was all about. He was no villain. He was just kind of a lovable dope, as I would describe him. And they needed to narrate some kind of rivalry in the episode. So they just kind of just, I don't know. They made Chasen up to be more than what he was. But him and Noah are kind of broing out in their own little cabana there. Because no one else likes him in the house at this point. And Ben is still kind of muddling around. Because Ben is like, oh, I'm so frustrated, I didn't get my time. But, you know, Ben sat around like a turd, and, you know, what are you going to do? He's trying to be mad at Noah, but it's just like, dude, you didn't go after the girl. It's your own damn fault. So Chris walks in, and he's got the first date card of the day, or however long. He's got the first date card of the episode. And the winner, before I get ahead of myself, So the date card is they're gonna have to write and perform a song to Tayshia, and the winner will get a one-on-one date. So it was kind of weird in the sense that it wasn't really like a full-on group date. They haven't done this in a while, I don't think. They said they were gonna do it last week, where it was like whoever won the big wrestling match, they were gonna get one-on-one time. I could have sworn they said that. They said they were like the whoever won was declared the winner of the wrestling date would get one-on-one time, and it was Chasen, and that never happened. They just went straight into a cocktail party. So I was a little skeptical about what they were gonna do with this, but so they did have a group date where the guys had to, they had all sorts of instruments and stuff laid out for them. They had to write a song and sing it to her. And so, yeah, it wasn't like a full-on group date because after they did this, it went straight into the one-on-one. There was no cocktail party or whatever. So Bennett decides that we've all forgotten where he went to school. And in his little side interview, he's like, well, at Harvard, I didn't take any musical courses. But I did spit some fat beats in high school, so I think I could do a little rap. And we're all thinking at this point, we're not sure if you took any classes at Harvard, all right? Because you proved you couldn't do simple math or spelling, and now you're not musical. Like, what did you take? We need to know. Bennett, we need answers. Were you just a mascot? What's going on here? But anywho, So all the guys, they start racking their brain, and they show a little bit of Kenny, and my fucking heart started fluttering. Because he was, all the other guys, they were, like, just, like, not creative or showing any signs of, like, pulling this off at all. And it gets to Kenny. Kenny's got, you know, he's got some structure to his song. He's got some rhyming to it. He's got a little, like, theme to it. He's, like, spelling out her name. While singing out, you know, different stuff to the letters in her name. It was like, you know, the heart was there. He's a boy band manager, you know? He's around music. He knows this shit. But anyways, they have like 5 minutes to prepare. There's like all these different instruments. There's like an accordion and a rattle and a harmonica, or I don't know. There was all these random ass instruments. So all the guys start to sing their songs, and they're all pretty fucking terrible, as expected. Some of them tried a little bit harder than others. Kenny's song, it was okay. I thought it was probably better than most of them, but that also didn't take a whole lot to do. A lot of them were forgettable. Zach and Blake, they were pretty awful. The only one who sounded close to having a song was DeMar. He whipped out a guitar, and he was strumming along. He strummed one out of two note the entire time. But, you know, he gave it his best effort. And, again, he had actually, like, a lot of tone to his voice, whether it was fucking terrible or not. He was still, like, actually trying to sing. So a lot of guys just, like rapped to her or kind of just like a poetry thing, and it's just like, come on, I mean rapping is what is, I guess, is fine if it's supposed to be a song, but other guys were just like reading, and it didn't make any fucking sense. But DeMar was actually, you know, he was getting into it. And then you always know that, like, the guy who is gonna win or do the best or whatever is coming up, because one, they always do it last. The editing just always works out that way. Oh, that's amazing. The best one for last every fucking time. Wow, who'd have thought? Last week it was Bennett when he did like the breakfast in bed thing. Like, he was in last place the entire thing, and then they make him go last on the bed and breakfast, and he wins the whole thing. Oh, who'd have thunk? Like, the music gets quieter, they stop skipping through guys so fast, and then they show the dude, and he goes last. And so in this case it was Ivan. So Ivan comes up, and he straight up reads a poem. Like, it was probably worded better than any of the songs that the guys had done thus far, but he straight up just read a poem. He wasn't like trying to rap or nothing. It was a fucking poem. And of course, he ended up, you know, winning for some reason. Wasn't a song at all. She just liked the poem, I guess. But, you know, this is the season where rules don't fucking matter. That's the whole theme of this season. So, again, I didn't know it was just going to be like this little like 5-minute date thing. I thought it was going to be a whole long group date where they actually, I thought it was going to be longer, but apparently, so this is like a fake, truncated group date, and it was just to decide who got the one-on-one. So Ivan gets the one-on-one. Now, I don't see Ivan as a contender, even after the whole strawberries thing they did last week, even after he gets a rose this week and a one-on-one, like, I really don't think he's in the running. He's just, like, he's just seems too, like, young and innocent and, like, just, like, kid brother-ish to Tayshia or to everyone, basically. Like, he's just, like, I don't know. We'll see where it goes, but anyways, he gets the one-on-one date, and right away, like, you can tell his, like, alphaness is just, like, it's just forced. Like, when he tries to, like, you know, command a situation or, like, show confidence, it just seems like he's trying real hard. So she doesn't figure out that he is scared out of his fucking mind and he is way out of his league. That's the vibe I get from him constantly. So, like, right when he opens the door, he goes over to her little hut or her villa or whatever it is. Right when she opens it, he's just like, what's up, girl? Like, yeah, I'm doing good. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't... Like, he's a nice, sweet dude, and there's nothing wrong with being a nice, sweet dude. I just don't feel like he has that, like, kind of, you know, like I said, that kind of, like, that confidence, the confident presence, the kind of, you know, where he kind of, like, drives the, you know, kind of, like, drives the date and leads the way. He just seems more of, like, a long for the ride kind of guy. But, so, they get started on the date, and right away, like, I'm not the only one getting kid brother vibes, because Tayshia is clearly getting kid brother vibes, because the date that she had planned for him is, like, we're just gonna hang and, like, play some board games, you know, and just chill, and, we'll just braid each other's hair, and there'll be no romance whatsoever to be spoken of. And Ivan is even like, all right, now this is my type of date, you know, just hanging out, us buds. She definitely has, like, she said the word buddy 0 times with her voice, but her body emitted the feeling of you're my buddy the entire time. It was, I don't know. I just don't see them, romantically. I don't know, and maybe I'm way off. I think Tayshia's been kind of a curveball as to who she's actually interested in, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But I just think she's been a little hard to read this season. Usually, you know, with most Bachelor and Bachelorettes, you get a vibe that, you know, oh, they're definitely into, like, these 3-ish people. You can get that vibe, like, right away. You can be like, all right, these 3 people definitely not getting cut for a long time. And I think you can kind of get that with Tayshia, but I don't know. I think with the whole Claire thing, I think they really coached Tayshia into being like, look, you can't let anyone know who you're into. You can't let one guy over the other know that you're in, or you can't, you know, you gotta spread that shit around. You gotta like all the boys. You gotta pretend you're into all of them or whatever, because we cannot have another Claire situation on our hands, all right? People want to keep guessing. We cannot have a Moss. No more Dale Moss. That's just, That's going to be lingo around the office. We got a code moss going on here, folks. But yeah, so I think, you know, because of that, she's been harder to read on who, like, her real top three guys are, or if she's even interested in all of them. And that's the thing. She's shown so much. I said I would talk about this later. Now I'm talking about it now. But she's shown so much interest in, like, everyone. It makes me believe she's not interested in anyone. And that's be a totally believable thing. Because on the first night that she was here, I forget who asked. I think he's gone now. He's like, so what do you do for a living? And she's like, well, I, like, travel for, like, work and pleasure. And, you know, pretty much that's about it. Like, oh, okay, so you an Instagram influencer. That's what you do. You get paid to go to fancy places and wear fancy clothes and show everyone. So it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if that's all she did. Because here's my reasoning. If she was just, you know, whatever, doing her normal Instagram self, and then the Bachelorette called her and said, hey, do you want to be the star of the Bachelorette for the next, you know, 8 to 10 weeks? Like, why would you not say yes? You know, if you were single and, you know, basically a giant TV network says you get to be the star of a TV show for the next 10 weeks and you get all that much more exposure. Like, why would you say no? Even if you had no, like, real desire to get married or even date anyone, you know, the endings to Bachelorette and Bachelors go so fucking terrible nowadays that people half expect that the main person, the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, even ends up with someone at the end. So it'd be perfectly normal for her to be like, yeah, I want to be on TV for 8 weeks and, you know, grow that Instagram account and then find some way to blow it up at the end so that I don't have to be with anyone. It'll work out great. Forget where my train of thought was with this. But yeah, I think the point I was trying to make here was that while Ivan is giving kid, like, mega kid brother vibes, she still is, like, acting like she's, or she's giving off the vibe that she's actually really into him, while also giving vibes that she's not into him at all. It's very strange. Very strange. So the first thing they do is they play the floor is lava. And after that, they have a pillow fight. And then they eat ice cream. I shit you not. It was like a 12-year-old girl's slumber party. Which, by the way, I said they did floor is lava, then a pillow fight, and then they ate ice cream. They ate the biggest fucking bowl of ice cream I'd ever seen in my life. And it wasn't mentioned at all. They were just like, after the pillow fight, then they're just sitting on the floor, talking, and at some point you see them, like, go to scoop this ice cream, and the fucking ice cream is, like, the size of a chair. It's seriously just in, like, a laundry basket, and for no explained reason. They didn't even, like, mention it in conversation. Like eating a bowl of ice cream the size of a house is just completely normal and needs no recognition. I mean, half the surprising part about it was that they were actually eating it. As we all know, eating is one of the forbidden sins on The Bachelor. And you can only drink wine and not show that you have ever consumed a carb in your life. So, the fact they were eating ice cream was pretty exciting stuff there. So, after they eat their abnormally a giant bowl of ice cream, it cuts back to the guys for a little bit, and the takeaway from the date card is that there was no Ben, there was no Joe, because, you know, Joe is just there to fill a quota, obviously. He's been on the show for approximately 37 seconds, and there's no Noah. So Ben's all moped out because he was on the previous date and didn't get any private time with Tayshia. And Noah chimes in and he's like, man, I'm bummed. Like, I wasn't even on that date. I just jumped in. I should be able to go on this group date. And this is where they start to, like, really vilify Noah, because, you know, they keep getting rid of the villains left and right. They gotta invent new ones all the time. Ed is still, he's not even a villain, he's just a fucking clown. He doesn't not need to be in the show at all. He's not, like, I don't know. We'll get to more Ed stuff later. But yeah, Noah chimes in and he's like, man, I really want to be on that group date. And Bennett comes at him, he's like, group dates are for people who don't have a rose and are giving those people a chance to get more time with her. And Noah's just like, well, I mean, yeah, but I understand that, but I want to get as much time as I can with her as possible. And Bennett starts to, like, just, like, pull rank on Noah the entire episode, and it's kind of hilarious. Their little quarrel throughout the episode was actually pretty fun to watch, because Bennett's just, like, this elegant shit-talking is what he does to him. So after Noah's like, well, but I still want time with her, he's like, well, maybe you didn't understand what I just said to you, little boy. group date are for people without a rose. And then he makes a claim about how he looks a little bit better without the skid mark about his lip, but he's still a little punk. But after that, it cuts back to Ivan, and now Ivan and Tayshia, now we're outside, and they're talking. And again, I just, the whole time, little brother vibes the entire time. He's got, you know, he's got that baby face, and he just, you know, just carries himself like the good friend type of guy. And I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, but I'd be willing to bet he might get like top 8, you know, since he's had a lot more one-on-one time than the other guys at this point. But he's talking to Tayshia and he's saying stuff like, oh, my parents are gonna love you. Like, I don't know, the vibe I was getting is that he was just like trying too hard to like force himself on her, like, oh yeah, well, you're gonna come back to my place and we're gonna chill and my parents are gonna love you because, you know, we're gonna be in a relationship and shit. And so him and her have this long kind of like heart-to-heart conversation, and they talk about a lot of the like BLM stuff that's going on, and, you know, how they're both dealing with it. And it was actually, like, you know, a pretty sweet moment, except, now this is just me, and I'm a terrible fucking person, and I couldn't help but notice it, but he said like and literally every other word, and I couldn't stop hearing it once I noticed that I started hearing it. He's just like, literally, it's the worst, like, literally, like, I actually, literally, like, I couldn't stop focusing on it. And that's more about how much of a terrible person I am than anything, because it's television, and he was nervous, and I'm sure he was nervous, you know, whatever, talking to Tayshia, being on TV, and just kind of ad-libbing and freestyling the conversation and trying to carry it and not, you know, seem like a total doofus. And, you know, I'm new to the whole fucking podcast thing, and I know if I were to go back, I mean, I do go back and listen to these. I do notice I say a ton of the same shit also. I'm trying to work on it. So, again, I'm not totally faulting him for it. It's all me, people. I'm a terrible human being. I'm making a podcast talking about how ridiculous all these people are. So who the fuck am I to say anything? I'm in the shit. So that pretty much brings the date to a close. She gives him a rose, and it cuts to the next day, where there's another group date, and Kenny's in the group date again. Hoorah! But we all know that Kenny gets cut at the end, so fuck that bullshit. But they do a truth or dare type of date, which didn't really, the way they did it, any fucking date could be truth or dare, because all it was they did a whole bunch of challenges, that was the dare, and then they had a cocktail party where she asked them questions, that was the truth. Literally, any fucking date. Do what I tell you to do, dare, cocktail party, truth. So, I was looking for a little more spice out of that, but to be fair, a lot of the stuff that went on in the dare section of the date was pretty fucking cool. I gotta give it to them. So they bring out Bachelorette alum Becca Cuffrin, who was originally on Ari's season, and then she won, and then she didn't win because Ari's a fucking douche, and then she got her own season, and then Garrett won, and then Garrett lost because they broke up. So now she's single again, and she brought along Sydney, who was on Tayshia's seat, who was on, not Tayshia's season, but she was on Colton's season with Tayshia. She was the token Asian of that Bachelorette, and she made it probably to, like, top eight. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but I'm pretty sure she made it to, like, you know, a decent ways away in Colton's season. Anyway, they brought the alums to help out Tayshia run the dare competition for really no apparent reason. What do these people do? Is it that lucrative to just go on The Bachelor or Bachelorette and then model on Instagram? I need to know this because, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. These people, that first of all, they have to quarantine these people, so, you know, I guess that was just readily available for them to just like, oh yeah, I'll drop everything in my life, fly out to La Quinta, quarantine for 2 weeks just to film this 5-minute fucking segment. Are you kidding me? Like, those people, what do they do? I want to know. I want to know what they do where this is just normal behavior for them. But anyways, Becca is like, she gives some stupid Bachelorette jargon speech. She's like, every good relationship is based on truth. And I know good relationships because, you know, I just got out of one. So they have the guys pair off into teams of two. That's a pair. And they all, there's like four or five or three, I don't know. I think it was like three or four different challenges. They have to kind of run around the La Quinta and perform. I'll skip over the riffraff and I'll get straight to the meat. The best part of this whole fucking episode was when, so there's a challenge where they have to get on the loudspeaker, which is connected to the entire resort. So all the other guys not on the date can hear it. All the other guys who are on the date can hear it as well. But they have to get on this loudspeaker and orgasm moan into it for 60 seconds straight. And I gotta say, it was pretty entertaining. Some of these dates have been pretty hit or miss, but the orgasming part into the mic, pretty fucking awesome. And the first person to do it, of course, was none other than my boy, Kenny. And I was cracking the fuck up. Kenny is such, there's so much going on for him. The fact that he got cut just shakes me to my core how much I get frustrated with this show, because it makes no goddamn sense. There's so much BTS stuff that we don't know what's going on, because if Tayshia had half a fucking brain cell, maybe he wouldn't have won, okay? Because when it gets down to the, you know, the last couple, it's like anyone's game, whatever. But for him to get cut this early on with like 16 other people, it makes no fucking sense. Dude is hilarious. So he starts orgasming into the phone, and it's this hilarious moan. He's just going for it, right? And then he goes, T, don't stop. T, don't stop. He calls Tayshia T. He's the only guy that gave her a nickname, which I thought was kind of cool. He just got so much swag about him, man. He goes, back up, back up. It was, I don't, best part of the season for sure. He's been the best part of the show, for sure. And they let him go. Like, I don't, am I alone in this? Seriously, am I alone? I can't be the only one who recognizes that Kenny, like, he just was the fucking man. Like, there was no reason to cut him. He was entertaining. He was gorgeous. He was funny. He was gorgeous. Did I say that he was good looking? Because he was also good looking and gorgeous. As a straight man, I can recognize a gorgeous man all day in Kenny. All right. I got no problem saying that. And I'm kind of gushing over him now because he's going to be gone after this episode. I'll probably bring him up in subsequent episodes, but I can't even get over it. The only other takeaway from the rest of the challenge is that Bennett, so one of the challenges was they had to eat a habanero and then give like a proposal while they're sucking down, sweat and heat. And Bennett gives this proposal, and it was actually, it seemed kind of, truthful and a little bit sincere. All the other guys, you know, it was kind of funny. Oh, I should mention Kenny. I'll mention Kenny again, because why the fuck not? It's my show. Kenny eats the pepper, and he's really struggling with it, right? And he's just, like, hacking and coughing, and he's trying to give the proposal. And the other girls are like, here, do you need this bucket? He's like, no, I don't need the bucket. And so, and they keep persisting that he take the bucket. And they ask him like one more time, like, do you want the bucket? And he kind of like bats it away, no. And then he grabs it. He's like, all right, I'll fucking take it. it was such a treat to watch. Kenny, anyways. Bennett. So Bennett's doing the proposal, and again, like I said, it seemed like it was a little sincere, and it did, you know, it played the fairy tale music and shit while he's doing it, and it's just like, oh, Bennett's pulling ahead here. So they get done with all the dare challenges that were really just challenges. There was nothing. Like, the truth or dare implies that there's, like, an option. Like, do you want to tell the truth or do you want to do a dare? I've made my fucking point about the truth or dare not really being a truth or dare type situation. But she gets to talk with everyone at this point. Just, like, a normal cocktail party. I think one of the first people she talks to is Bennett. And right away, He starts opening up like we haven't seen him this whole season. Like, I think I mentioned before how Bennett, you know, he came off as like just like a cocky douchebag, and to his credit, he still kind of is. But as the show went on, he became like more playful, cracking jokes, being a little more realistic about the situation. It wasn't all about him, kind of calling a spade for a spade, you know, with Claire and all her bullshit. And I've grown to like Bennett, but I also mentioned that he hasn't really opened up as a person. He's kind of just been there to crack jokes and shit. So this was the first time that we actually get to see him, I think, in the entire show so far with Claire or with Tayshia, kind of talk just like as a normal human being with feelings and emotions. And he talks about how he was almost engaged and he broke it off because he just felt in his heart it wasn't right. And that kind of getting down on one knee earlier in the challenge kind of made him feel some repressed feelings that he hadn't felt in a long time, and that he might actually be starting to like Tayshia. And I thought it was a pretty cool moment because, you know, my boy Bennett, I love him and all. I think he's hilarious. I think, you know, he can't go 5 seconds without mentioning that he went to Harvard, but, you know, other than that, he, you know, he's bougie, he's funny, he seems like an alright dude. There's definitely worse guys in the group than Bennett. So they show him in his little sidebar, and he's like on cloud nine. It's like kind of the first time we've ever seen Bennett kind of giddy, kind of actually have that little spark of, hey, I kind of like this, you know? Maybe there is a relationship in there for me. And after that, she kind of continues to make her rounds with the guys. She talks to Riley, and they talk about how he's a lawyer, because that's the only interesting thing about him. And so then eventually gets to Zach, and this whole fucking exchange just blew my mind in confusion, because it made no goddamn sense. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier with Tayshia kind of not, like, showing her hand, playing her cards, you know, not really letting you know who she likes, just that she likes everyone until they're gone. But, so, Zach and her get into a hot tub, and she's trying to talk to him and getting him to open up, and he's like, you're kind of... she said something, I forget what she said, like, you're kind of shy or something, and Zach is just like, well, I just get nervous around you. And Tayshia just has this, like, blank expression on her face, and just kind of, like, looking off into the distance, and she's like, aw, that's cute. Now, like, in any other situation, I feel like this would be, like, a huge turnoff to girls. Like, admitting that you are uncomfortable around them and you're nervous around them, that's not, I'm generalizing here, that's not normally the type of behavior you want to see, especially from someone who is, like, you know, like someone you're just starting to date. You know, you want them to pursue you, and he admits, like, oh, I get nervous, and I clam up, and she even was, with her, like, body language and her facial expressions and everything, she was, showing the camera that she was also kind of not into it, like, it wasn't flattering, you know, to be surrounded by 16 other dudes who are confident and trying to, you know, spark things with her, and here's Zach, who's, like, just kind of quiet and shy and nervous around her. You know, it totally makes sense that, like, I thought he might have got sent home, like, at this point, because they were having this awkward conversation where he's, you know, saying he's nervous, and, you know, she had a blank expression on her face. She's looking around, and she just looked like she, you know, was there because she had to spend time with everyone. That was part of the contract. But otherwise, not really invested in Zach whatsoever. And they keep going on just with, like, this just kind of whatever banter. And then out of nowhere, Zach just kind of goes in for the move, and they start making out. It felt like the most forced thing I'd ever watch. I only watched it once. I didn't go back and watch it. I probably should have to, like, maybe comprehend what just happened. But she looked like she couldn't have been less interested in him. They talked for, like, 2 more minutes. Obviously, it's edited. You don't see the whole conversation. But they talked for, you know, a little bit. Just kind of, like, you know, weather conversation. What do they call that? Weather talk? I think it's, yeah. That's the right word. Weather talk? Anywho. And then he leans in, and they start making out, and it's the most fucking confusing thing. I didn't understand it at all, and he ends up, that was a little bit later, he gets the rose, but after the hot tub scene, she, in her little side interview, she's like, Zach and I, we just have chemistry, and I'm like, where was the chemistry, because what I saw was, like, this awkward conversation into a makeout session. And no substance whatsoever. Nope. So tell me, what if there was chemistry, they edited the fuck out of it. That's all I can say. Then they cut back to the guys who are not on the date. And these little scenes fucking kill me. Because they just show all the remaining guys just sitting in a semicircle. Just kind of, like, staring off into the... Like, these have to be so planned, right? Because... If they were just not on the date, wouldn't they just be, like, lounging around, hanging out, you know, eating at the buffet, sitting on the pool, but then they cut to them and they're just all in a semicircle just looking like they're in timeout. And it's then like none of them are talking to each other either. It's just it's so forced. It's like obviously it's like, all right, everyone sit in a semicircle, be quiet now. And Ben speaks up and Ben's like, man, this has been a frustrating week. I'd be so bummed if I didn't get a rose because, you know, I didn't really get a chance to talk to her on my date. And then there's just dead silence. That's their thing. So like they do these semicircles and then I always question why do people speak up and talk about themselves and being bummed out about their chances of the survival? Like, no one gives a fuck, dude. Literally zero people give a fuck. No one's gonna console you. This is a game show where the object of the game is to be last man standing. Why are you telling your competition about your woes? They don't give a fuck, dude. It sounds so fucking awkward when you go looking for like sympathy from your competition and clearly no one gave it because why would they? And there's just this dead silence in the air and some awkward glances. And I'm just like, I don't know that those types of things. They have to be scripted in. They had to say like, all right, someone speak up, because it just makes no sense for anyone to say that, like, guys, I don't really like my chances of winning. Will someone console me? Because I'm really down. It's fucking ridiculous. It cuts to a scene later with Ivan and Brendan talking. And this is where, like, the fucking, again, like, the kind of immaturity of Ivan pops out. I was wrong. I thought he was, like, 26 or 25. And it turns out he's, like, 28. Not like a huge difference, but there comes a little more sense of maturity as you approach 30. But he acts like a young dude to me. He like in his immaturity level, like a wet around the ears 24, 25 year old, because he's talking to Brendan and they're just chilling, you know, broing out by the pool. And he's kind of talking to Brendan about how, oh, I'm kind of worried about the rose ceremony, or I don't know what's going to happen. And Brandon's like, yeah, you know, same, but, you know, it's all good. And Ivan kind of goes like, you know, I'm not saying I have any ideas of who's going home, but, you know, like, who do you think's going home, huh? Brandon's like, I don't know, man. Ivan's like, I think it's Ben. Ben, because he didn't get time to talk to Tayshia on the group date, and he's been real bummed about it, so I think it's Ben. And Brendan handles it the way you fucking should handle it. The way you win The Bachelorette or The Bachelor, whichever show you're on, is you just fucking play it cool, man. Don't talk shit about anyone. Because Brendan, I don't think Brendan really, he didn't really entertain the conversation of who's going to be the next one out. He's just like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I'm here for me, and I don't care about anyone else, and I'm going to do me, and I'm not going to get wrapped up in all this fucking high school drama. And that's the mentality you gotta have on this shit. So here's where the fucking, not the most ridiculous thing happens, but there was this switcheroo fucking, if they ever, I hate saying the word scripted so often on a podcast, but the shit is fucking scripted, man. You can't tell me this shit just happens normally, all right? Because Ed and Ben both get the idea to go see Tayshia in her villa or her bedroom or whatever, because they're bummed out that they haven't had time with her. Now, Ben, I can kind of understand wanting to do that because he realizes he fucked up. Ed, no fucking clue why he thinks he has any business doing that. Ed, I don't think, has spoken to Tayshia at this point. And it's just comical to think that he has a shot. Clearly, I think he's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame on this show, as noted with last week. I don't know if him being a villain was leaned into by the producers. That's my new That's my new phrase. Instead of saying scripted, leaned into by the producers. Wink. I thought his total just becoming a villain out of nowhere last week after he was just like a fucking turd up until that point was just totally, you know, made up out of thin air. And now he's just kind of riding that high and trying to be relevant on the show. And he's like, I'm going to go to Tayshia because I watched that in an episode once and I think it worked out well. But so they had this split screen view sort of where Ben's going to Tayshia's house and Ed's going to Tayshia's house. And the big fucking kick of the nuts is that Ed actually ended up at Chris Harrison's room. Now, give me a fucking break. There's no way that, like, you can't tell me that shit wasn't scripted. I'm sorry, I gotta say it. You can't tell me that they didn't purposely give Ed wrong directions. You knew good goddamn well where Tayshia's room was, and you told him to go to Chris Harrison's room. You know, the fucking camera guy with the light following him around, he knows where Tayshia's room's at. He knows Ed wasn't on his way to the right room. It's fucking ridiculous. So Ben actually goes to Tayshia's room. You think that, you know, they're going to have this weird, awkward moment where they both end up at her place, but no, he's at Chris Harrison's house because fucking haha. And then Ben actually ends up in Tayshia's villa. What are they, cottages, villas? I don't know. Her fucking dwelling. And he basically just does the whole boohoo, like, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't come talk to you at the group date. And this is where Tayshia, she just plays the part that they want her to play very, very well, or like by the book or by the number. I don't mean that necessarily as a good thing either, because at this point it's becoming a little too apparent that she is just like there to be a team player. This comes up a little bit later when, you know, Noah accuses her of, you know, just doing things just to cause drama. I don't necessarily think she's doing stuff just to cause drama. I do think she's doing stuff just to keep the show having, you know, momentum and a script that's readable and not end up like a Claire situation. But, so, I kind of went off track there, but when Ben comes in to say, I'm sorry, she gives this, like, I'm so disappointed in you, Ben. I really liked you, and I wanted you to step up. And so this, what I mean by her just playing by the rules is like anytime something, like she just gives too natural of a reaction to everything that's happening. When to every single guy that comes up to her and says nice things about her, she reciprocates and she makes out with them and has a good time and then says really nice things about him. Oh, I could see myself with this dude. And then, you know, then the next guy comes along, says really nice things, and they make out. Oh, I could really see myself with this dude. Oh, I just want to kiss all the boys. And then when Ben comes and admits fault, you know, the natural response is to be disappointed. And she's like, oh, Ben, I'm just so disappointed, and I want to see better from you. And he says, I'm going to promise better. And she's like, you better. She's like, oh, okay, I'm glad he stood up and apologized. And now, I could see myself with him. Oh, I just love Ben so much now. It's just like, she's just spreading around all this, like, very, just, I don't know, just like a very, like, fairy tale kind of spin or ending to every situation that comes her way. Then, as one final kick in the nuts, we get another knock knock at the door at the end of Ben's scene, and we think, oh, Ed finally found his way to Tayshia's. No, it was room service. Okay. Hilarious. Hilarious bachelorette. You fucking pulled us. Pulled the old once over on us. But anywho, so that pretty much wraps up that segment of the show. Then we move on to the next day, or maybe it's still the evening, I don't know. It's a cocktail party time, right? Everyone loves a cocktail party. right before the rose ceremony. And I forget what led up to this, but Ed gets another little side interview, and he's like, Noah's like pissed that we called him out. Noah's a joke. And at this point, I'm so over Ed. I've been over Ed since like 5 seconds into the previous episode when he decided that he wanted to talk, and that was the exact moment I knew I didn't want to see Ed ever again in my life. But he's just trying to be relevant. So for him to say Noah's a joke is pretty hysterical, because Ed has been nothing. Ed has, I guess, I shouldn't say it's not a hysterical, because Ed hasn't even been a joke. He's just been annoying and, like, not pleasant to watch. Not even in, like, a villain sense do I like Ed. But, so I'm hoping, clearly he has no shot of winning. Clearly that the producers are keeping him around because he does have some sort of villain vibe. Because, I mean, he has literally no connection with Claire that we've seen, or Jesus. I've done that every episode since she's been gone, and she still haunts my dreams. He's had no connection with Tayshia whatsoever that we've seen. What else can I say? I don't think he's had like one conversation with her more than like two sentences, and it's always just him being a dope and talking about how he can't open his eyes all the way, and I just can't stand him. All right, he has not been a pleasant factor to the show at all. The best moments of him were in the early Claire episodes when he didn't talk at all, and I didn't learn his name until episode 4, and then since then, it's just been downhill from there. So, I hope he goes home next episode. So they walk in, but yeah, they walk in to the rose ceremony, or to the cocktail party. And this is where I said, like, they're just making Noah a villain for no reason. Now, he does, I mean, at least in the way the show portrays him and what they show on the show, he does seem kind of like a shitbag. And he's 25 years old. I think he's the youngest one by far. So, it's possible he is a shitbag. I mean, 25 years old, that's what you're supposed to be at 25, is a shitbag. It's perfectly normal. But he walks in, and amongst all the guys, he's like, God damn, it feels good to come in with the rose. Am I right, fellas? not quite like that. But yeah, he literally says, it's good feeling to come in with a rose tonight. In front of everyone. Like, everyone isn't going to be fucking pissed at that statement. Or at least not happy, to say the least. So, Ben is the first one to take Tayshia away. Because he promised her, like, I'm not gonna stand by anymore. I'll be the first one to grab you. And you know, he's just like proving himself the next day. You know, say, like, oh, did you see that? Last night I said I'd be the first one to take you away, and then today I was the first one to take you away. I showed up. That's another thing. They go through this whole, I was having like Claire fucking, you know, PTSD. Because he kept saying, show up, show up, show up to Tayshia during this cocktail hour. Like, I showed up last night. I showed up here. I'm going to keep showing up because, you know, there's nothing much else you could do for a girl than show up. And I'm just like, oh, God, the PTSD is too strong. Stop it. Stop it. Why, Ben? I actually do kind of like Ben, but, you know, who knows how this whole thing will end up. So Noah, I think she might have talked to like one or two other people, but Noah takes her aside, and for his little, you know, cocktail one-on-one time, and he almost immediately talks about how like the other guys are talking some shit. And she's like, oh, no, really? And the producers are like, good job, Tayshia. That's the response we told you to have. Good job. And Noah's like, yeah, they think that the rose you gave me, they're questioning, like, your integrity. Like, you just gave that rose out just to cause shit in the house. And so, to my knowledge, I had no fucking idea of this. Did anyone else? I didn't get that vibe at all. I don't know where this came from. I know that, like, people thought he was a shitbag, but I don't think they ever accused Tayshia of giving a rose to cause shit. If something like that did happen or was said, they didn't show it to us happening. You know, it wasn't on camera. If it happened, that's what I think is kind of fucking bullshit. Is if this kind of drama happens off screen or off camera or whatever, then they bring it into the real episode. It's like, we didn't fucking see that. How do we know it's the truth? Because to me, for all I know, that shit never happened. But yeah, so then Tayshia, with her, you know, pre-recorded response, immediately gets all pissed off. And she's like, this was the one thing I was... how many times is she going to say, this is the one thing I was worried about the most? She did it with Jason when he's like, I still got feelings for Claire after knowing her for 5 minutes, so I gotta go. And she's like, ugh, some guy I just met doesn't love me immediately. This was the thing I feared the most. And now, now it's, the other guys are questioning your integrity. Ugh, questioning my integrity. This is the thing I feared the most. Oh, I can't wait to see what her next greatest fear is on the most shocking episode of The Bachelorette ever. So, again, her pre-recorded response, she goes in to the rest of the cocktail party where all the guys are, and she's like, heard someone's talking some shit about my integrity, and if anyone thinks that way, you can fucking leave right now. And then I'm gonna storm off because that's what the directors are cueing me to do. All right, bye forever. Oh, also, no more cocktail party because, you know, I'm just too mad to have cocktail party time. So then they all, you know, they're all like, where the shit did that just come from? And Noah, they're like, who was the last one to talk to her? And Noah's just like, it was me, with a little shit-eating grin on his face. Again, why they felt the need to make him just this, like, shithead villain, I don't know. They already had Ed, and Ed hasn't gone yet, so I don't know why the fuck they didn't just let Ed be the villain. But, what else? Bennett here, he gets a couple of... Him and Noah go at it, and then in his sidebar, he's like, I'm here for love, not to breastfeed Noah, which I thought was, again, pretty hysterical. I think Bennett definitely gets, like, the best jabs and the best sidebars here. He really takes time to craft those roasts when the carb is on him. Oh, also, oh, fucking Ed, man. Fucking Ed. Ed in his side interview, he's like, if I don't get a rose tonight, it's because Noah stole my time. And I'm just like, oh god, there's no redeeming quality about you, man. You are just toxic masculinity at its finest. Wrapped up in just a fucking douche lord, fucking crybaby whining. Ugh, I can't stand Ed. Ed, if you ever listen to my podcast, you know, you're probably an alright dude. I always say really mean things about people when I'm watching them on the show. I know that they fucking hype up everyone for being, you know, way worse than what they probably are. Ed, like I've always said, I'm sure you're probably a super cool dude. You probably give to charity and walk old ladies across the street, so don't take this to heart. Meanwhile, through all this, you see Kenny in there. Kenny is just... You know, everyone is just harping on Noah, giving him fucking tongue lashings, taking turns, just, you know, making him the whipping boy that they, you know, he's the reason why they didn't get time with her for the cocktail party. Kenny's just sitting there cool as a fucking cucumber, man. I swear to God, why they cut him is beyond me. I need time to process this because, it's just gonna eat at me for a while. But he's sitting there, and he's just not fucking giving a shit. And, like, typically, I would say, like, not giving a shit about people's drama is, like, 100% the way you gotta go in these things. You need to not wrap yourself up with whatever, like, even if someone does something shitty, just fucking rub it off, whatever you gotta do. But just ignore it. And, you know, move on with your life and try and keep your head in the game. Don't get wrapped up in these people's shit. Ed over there, you know, he was in Chasen's asshole, and now he's in Noah's asshole, and just loves, you know, digging around in other people's shit for no reason. But, Kenny, you know, this is, we're coming to his final farewell here. So, we get to the rose ceremony, she's all huffing and puffing, and, it gets down to the last rose, and the people that haven't been picked are, like, Jordan, Ed, Big Face, can't open my eyes, Ed, Kenny, who else? I know, it was, Chasen and Joe. And who fucking gets the rose? If you gave me five guesses, there were five guys left. If you gave me four guesses, I would have got every fucking one of them wrong, because the one she ended up saving was fucking Ed. And I wanted to throw my remote through the TV at this point, because there's really no logical reason to keep Ed out of those five. At that point, you knew that was a producer call. If she wasn't feeling any of those five dudes, they got to pick which one got to stay. But the fact that it wasn't Kenny is just so fucking mind-blowing. I'm even a little shocked it wasn't Joe, because they usually keep the Asian guy to around, like, top 10, maybe even top 8, you know, gotta keep him around. But I think he went out in record time for an Asian person. Let's be real here. But who else? Chasen? Why would you pick Joe over Ed over Chasen? It's unreal. Like, Ed was the shit talker. Like, the rules are just thrown out the goddamn window in this season. And I don't know, man. Again, she's expressed interest equally to just about every guy, or at least, like, more than 8 guys, that it kind of seems like she's just playing the game. She's playing the bachelorette game that they want her to play. You know, say all the right things, make out with all the guys, get mad when you're supposed to get mad, get happy when you're supposed to get happy, throw a fit when you're supposed to throw a fit, and this is the way the game is played. And at the end of it, if you want to marry someone, go for it. But if you don't, that's cool too. We can all go our separate ways at the end. I had high hopes for Tayshia going into this. And the first couple episodes I showed her, obviously it's still light years better than Claire. But at this point, I am starting to question her integrity, whether she's actually trying to find someone to get married to, or just doing this to blow up the Instagram account, to get on TV, because, like I said, who wouldn't want to have their own show dedicated to them for 10 weeks? Like, it would make more sense to me if maybe she did go on there in the mindset, like, oh, maybe I'll find someone, but I'm not going to actively pursue the idea that I am going to find my husband. Which, you know, they make her say those sort of things, like, oh, I definitely feel like my husband's in the room, when really it could just be like, some people I wouldn't mind dating are in this room, and I'll give it a shot, and if it doesn't fucking work out, well, at least the gram's popping off. That'd be a more accurate statement. But of course they can't announce that, because then it would just be called, I don't know what the fuck it'd be called. I can't think of anything clever. But that pretty much brings us to an end. If I didn't have this podcast right now, swear to God, I wouldn't watch a single rest of the episode or the rest of the show, because they cut Kenny. I mean, I can understand if he wasn't going to win, all right? But he shouldn't. With the lineup of guys they got now, there were plenty of other choices that could have gone home. And really, even just one guaranteed choice that should have gone home instead of Kenny. And that's Ed, obviously, if you hadn't picked up on that. But, I don't understand. Dude was funny. Dude was good looking as shit. If there was only one thing that she didn't like about him, I guess it could have been like his age. He's like 39 and she's 28 or 29. So there's like a 10-year difference. That's the only thing I can think of as to why she wouldn't have picked him. Is that he's a little older. I don't know. I think she lives in California or something. He lives in Chicago. I don't know. There's plenty of factors that come into play that we don't necessarily see or they don't talk about. But he was fucking entertaining, at least. I liked him. I would have liked to see him on the show. Who wants to see Ed? Like, I guarantee they lost viewership over the cut they made to keep Ed and cut Kenny. Anywho, that's gonna do it for this week's episode. Thank you guys again for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, a fucking huge thank you to you. I put these shows out. This is my first podcast, so, you know, go easy on me. But I put these shows out, like I said, they'll be out first thing in the morning after a Bachelorette episode airs. And I've been faithful to get these things recorded and edited and up in the morning. So there's that. Be sure to follow me on Instagram. Like I said, follow the podcast. And thank you again for listening. This has been quite a awesome experience for me recording this. Being able to see that there are people in the world listening to it that aren't just, you know, my mom and me. So again, thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. All right, see you.